It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
If you go back to Tuesday night, you had the opening games in the Eastern Semi and the Western Semi. The Lightning beat the Panthers in Sunrise at Florida Live Arena. 4-1, it was all Lightning. Tampa Bay, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs, take a 1-0 series lead, and they got everybody going in this one. After Anthony Duclair scored to open it up for Florida 14 minutes into the first, making it 1-0 Panthers. The second period, it was Corey Perry on the power play to tie it up from Kucherov, 16:22 of the second period. And then in the third, it got ugly as Pierre-Édouard Bellemare scored from Maroon and Perry 3.5 minutes into the period, and it was 2-1, the go-ahead goal, the game winner. Then Kucherov on the power play at 15:54 from Stamkos, and Hedman made it 3-1. And then, just for good measure, Ross Colton scored a power play goal at 17:44 from Sergachev and Nick Paul, and that was all she wrote. 4-1 Lightning as they go on the road across the Alligator Alley and beat the Panthers, the President's Cup winner, the best record in the NHL. There is a brewing, budding rivalry between these two, which is fantastic for hockey. I love the productivity that Tampa got from everybody. Colton had, you know, the goal, 5 shots. Hagel had a couple shots. Killorn had 3 shots. Kucherov had 2 good shots. Maroon a shot. Palat 3 shots. Paul 4 shots. Perry 4 shots. And a goal with a helper. And a plus one, Stamkos with a helper and 5 shots. Cernak with a shot. Hedman with 3 shots and a helper. I mean, they got everybody doing everything. And Vasilevsky, 33 saves, a 97 save percentage. I thought he was impressive. I said long and hard before this series started that Vasilevsky's better than Bobrovsky, the Panthers goalie. He gave up 4 goals, made 32 saves, an 88% save percentage, and it's just not good enough. He's going to have to step up. You cannot allow the two-time champs 4 goals a game. I mean, that's just all there is to it. They've got to limit them to a maximum of 3 goals. That's the only way you win at this level in the playoffs, this deep into the run. You're in the conference semis. You've got to win games 3-2 and 2-1. That's how you advance. That's how you survive. And that's all there is to it. The Panthers were 34-7-0 at home. But the Lightning aren't afraid to go on the road. 24-15-2 away. They proved they're not afraid to go to Sunrise and beat the best record in the league team, Panthers, going out there doing their thing. They were flying in the first period. But, you get 1 goal and then nothing else the rest of the night. You start, doubting, questioning, what did we do wrong? What do we got to do better? I think they got to do everything better. You can't allow Tampa to have every guy on the roster have that many shots on goal, and they spread the wealth. They limited their minutes. Hedman obviously played the most. He played 26:48, but nobody else even topped 23 minutes on that team. And what about the Avalanche? They beat the Blues 3-2 in overtime in the thin air of Rado. And Ryan O'Reilly started the scoring in the first period, 6.5 minutes in, from Braden Schenn, his fourth helper, O'Reilly's sixth of the playoffs. And then in the second period, the Avs got rolling. Valerie Nikushin scored from McKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. That tied it at 3:14 in the second. Then 11.5 minutes into the period, Sammy Girard from Landeskog and Josh Manson. And it was 2-1 Avs. You go to the third period. The Avs held the Blues at bay for most of the period. It was a lot like the Penguins blowing the lead against the Rangers in Game 7. Because it's 16:46. Jordan Kyrou was able to score on the power play from Justin Falk to tie it up. Then they go to overtime, and it was a really good overtime. But at 8 minutes in, Josh Manson, the hero, his first of the playoffs from Kadri and Landeskog. Landeskog with a two-helper night, and Colorado escapes on home ice with the 3-2 win over the Blues. Remember, the Avalanche were 32-5-4 at home. The Blues 23-12-6 away. St. Louis played a great game, a game where they were able to manipulate the Avs speed and kind of play at that same pace. I thought they looked exhausted at times, but they were able to get nice quick shifts in, keep popping fresh guys out on the ice and not letting them go over a minute in their runs, and they were able to keep pace with the Avs. Every time you turn around, Colorado's out skating someone and really skating them off the ice with speed, and they kill them, and they get physically exhausted when they play them, and they don't get off the ice quick enough, and they get lit up. The Blues were able to neutralize that with the quick shifts. If they keep doing that, I think they're going to be fine in this series. Kadri had a huge game with the five shots and a helper. He was a plus one. How about McKinnon? 8 shots on goal. Nishukin had 4. Rantanen had 4. Sammy Girard, 7 shots on goal. Johnson, 4 shots. Makar, 4 shots. Manson, 4 shots. And the winning goal. And a helper, a plus 2. Taves, 4 shots on goal. I mean, they had the whole team doing it. Compher had a couple shots. Helm had a couple shots. Landeskog, a shot, 2 assists. Lekkonen had a shot and a plus 1. So you see what they're doing. And really, the only guy that had massive burn in terms of minutes, I guess there was about 3 of them. Makar had 29 minutes. Taves had 25, Rantanen had 25, and McKinnon had 24. Everybody else was pretty normal in terms of their shifts. So tonight, same spots. Game 2 in Sunrise, Lightning Panthers, and then the nightcap, Blues Avs at the Ball Arena in Denver. Both of them, as I mentioned, Game 2, a best of sevens. I wanted to mention the NBA draft lottery from the other night. You saw what happened. The Orlando Magic ended up with the number 1 pick. They've been there before because they've always stunk, and they've been able to get, you know, Dwight Howard, Shaq O'Neal, etc. But now most eyes believe that they're going to center their attention on Jabari Smith, the small forward, power forward combo meal out of Auburn. This guy is going to help this team. They're already loaded with a young talent base, a core of young players that can get it on. Now you're going to add a guy like Smith, and they're going to light it up. This guy converted 42% of his three-pointers. He's 6'10", and he can defend. He can switch all over the floor. He's fast. He's explosive. You can guarantee they're going to love this guy. 18 years old, almost 19. That's crazy. Imagine the future of this kid. Everybody thinks the number 2 pick will be Chet Holmgren to the Oklahoma City Thunder, the big out of Gonzaga. But I question if he'll be able to handle the violence and muscle and bigs that are meaty and, you know, just get it on in the low block. This kid is an absolute toothpick. Now, I've heard all I can take about is, you know, 50, 40, 90. He's going to shoot 50% from the floor, 40% from downtown, and 90% from the line. Most of the skinny guys, the, you know, Sean Bradley's, Manute Bowles that have been in the NBA that don't weigh more than $175 soaking wet, they get eaten alive in this league. Not only that, they get injured with regularity. I got to see it to believe it. I don't deny that Chet Holmgren can fill it up. I don't deny that he was a great college player for 1 year at Gonzaga. He's 20 years old. I want to see how big he can get with muscle and weight, because right now he'll get pushed around like you're going to have to dog leash him to the team. He might blow away in the wind. He's so skinny. There's no doubt he can play defense. He's a force on the glass. He protects the rim, and he can swat shots, alter shots, and the kid can flat out shoot from three. He shot 39% from downtown. He can run, he can pass, he can finish, he can shoot, he can do it all. But will he be able to handle the violence and the pain in the NBA? That's the big question. The Rockets will go number three. Paolo Banchero is the guy out of Duke that everybody's talking about. We all know he's a badass. He can definitely create off the dribble, and he can find his teammates. He's explosive, running up and down the floor, scoring, shot making. He does everything. They're going to love having this guy alongside Christian Wood for sure in Houston for a long time. Sacramento will get the four pick. A lot of people think it'll be Keegan Murray. The Pistons will get the five. Eyes have Jaden Ivey going to the Motor City. The Pacers are six, Portland seven, the Pelicans via the Lakers are eight, Spurs nine, Wizards 10. The Knicks got the 11 pick. You know they'll screw it up like they always do, and the Knicks will still suck.